In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, along with my co-host, Minister David Clifton, and also our historian, Minister Ryan Fountain. Good for us to be here on another session, Truth Ministry. That's exactly what we intend to do. As Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We're thankful for that. Today, my food for thought is will be found in Psalm 24, the Lord and the fullness thereof, world, they that dwell therein, have founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Who hath clean hands and a pure heart? Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, the everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah.
Amen. The Lord. Food for thought is going to be simply this. 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. Starting at verse number 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Amen. My food for thought is simply one verse. Hebrews 10 and 23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise.
Yes.
Simply, God is faithful in all that we do.
Yes. Like the scripture goes on to say, for yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry.
Amen.
Goes on, now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. That we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. And that's exactly why we're here. We're here to plant seeds. And we're not talking about money. We're talking about the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God, just like it's talked about in Matthew, the 13th chapter. So even like Apostle Paul said, I have planted and Apollos watereth, but God gives the increase. So it says, neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So that's what we intend to do, is to plant seeds, plant the seed, which is the word of the Lord, plant seeds of faith and water them and pray that God will give the increase. God will give you understanding. So that's our whole reason for being here, and also for being in the Acts of the apostles, that we may show unto you, just like the eunuch said unto Philip, how can I, when he said, understandest what thou readest, he said, how can I except some man guide me? So nobody can guide you through the scriptures if they haven't been born again themselves. So you got to be born again to be able to do that. So we're going to be going forth. I believe we left off. We finished the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We brought out one good point, our historian, Minister Ryan Fountain, and that was about the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So we know that they were called, firstly, all throughout the scriptures, after salvation on the day of Pentecost, when they were there from under every nation under heaven, and then down in Samaria, and then also at Cornelius' house, when the Gentiles received salvation, we can see that these were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because initially we know that there were 12 disciples that started off walking with him. But how the Lord added, as they went, and when he told them to go to the city of Jerusalem and wait till they be endued with power from on high, so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all there with one accord. He told them, they went back to Jerusalem in an upper room, and they waited. So we can see as when they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they were all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and God gave them the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we can see how the order of God has continued on up until this present time here through the scriptures, and how Peter rehearsed the matter because he knew he was going to be attacked by the Jews for going in to the Gentiles, and he gave them his testimony, how God had gave him the vision, let him know what he cleansed. Don't call that common, which God has cleansed. So we're going to be starting off today in the 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and
all right,
we'll just give you a historian to give you historical points as he sees fit.
Okay.
Mr. Fountain.
Starting off, first couple verses. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So this is during the time of the Passover. And it says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Very quickly, we have to talk about this word Easter that's placed in the scriptures. But before we talk about that, just a quick point. We see that the persecutor before this time was Paul, going into the first persecutions when Stephen was stoned, and then he went through all Judea, vexing those of the church, wreaking havoc.
Mm-hmm.
But now Paul has been converted. Paul has been changed. We've discussed this at length. Paul is now fighting on the Lord's side, just starting his fight. But the devil doesn't stop working. The devil keeps on working, and he has now chosen persecution through this man, Herod the king. This is Herod Agrippa. It's not the same Herod that did the infanticide in the book of Matthew, when the Lord and his family had to go down into Egypt. This was, I believe, it was his grandson. So it was the same family, and persecuting God's people. So, but it was a different man, but the devil still working, and he's wanting to persecute. And Elder Cannon talked about the good seed, but there's four grounds that the seed was laid upon. If you look in the parable in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And that first ground was the wayside ground. and the birds immediately came and took the seed up. This is, and there was another seed that was in the thorns, and that was persecution. So this is how the devil works. He tries to bring persecution, and he tries to snatch that word and tries to snatch the seed out of the people, amen, out of the heart. So this is basically what this man is doing. He's killing certain of the church, namely the apostles, because those are the ones that brought forth the word. And now he's bringing forth Peter on what is called Easter in the fourth verse. But we know that it's not Easter.
Yeah, just one quick thought. We got to realize, just like Jesus said, that the thief cometh for nothing but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And in the 22nd chapter of Luke, the Lord told Simon, Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat."
Yes.
So we can see that demon is a dirty devil, and that's his purpose, was to kill Peter. But if it had not been for the Lord, amen, the grace of God. So if God's got your back, just like he said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the Lord means exactly what he says when his word goes out. So he's got our back. So that doesn't mean that the devil won't raise his ugly head up again. So we can see right here, this is a perfect example. When James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword by Herod,
mm-hmm.
he saw that that pleased the Jews. He wanted to take Peter also.
Yes.
So that's the same devil working.
Amen, amen. And if I could just add on to that, I think it is interesting to look at this family. as we see here, it does say that it was the Herod the king. But as Minister Fountain Ford said, this is the grandson of the one known as Herod the Great. And we should all be familiar with, it was the Herod the Great that actually tried to prevent or stop the coming forth of Jesus. We know the story where the wise men had saw the star. They saw the star, and they were proclaiming through the land that this child would be born. We can see that in the, I do believe it's the second chapter of Matthew. So when Herod the Great heard of this, first he asked the wise men, and it wasn't three wise men. The Bible doesn't say it was three of them. It just said wise men.
Yeah.
He sent them out. He wanted them to spy out and find this baby Jesus so that he could kill him.
Right.
But we understand that through reading that God had showed those wise men in a vision what Herod's plan was, so they did not return unto him. Also, it was put in the heart of Jesus' father, Joseph, to go and hide Jesus. And this is almost similar to the story of Moses. So what happened is when Herod had found out that the wise men had tricked him, he went out and killed all the males that were born at the time Jesus was supposed to be born, 2 years and under.
Yeah.
So this persecution started with Herod the Great. Now, after he passed away, after he died, his youngest son that goes by the name of Archelaus was to be born. Now, at this time, when God had gave Joseph the vision to flee to Egypt with baby Jesus, he told him that he would let him know when it was safe for them to return to the land.
Right.
So when Joseph thought it was safe, he came to find out that Archelaus, which was the son of Herod the Great, was now ruling. And he, just like his father, did not like the Jews or the Samaritans. So he was destroying them or persecuting them, if you will. And this is one of the reasons why they fled to Nazareth. Now, understanding that also, if we go to the book of Isaiah, and I have to read this, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it's almost as though they had to flee here for this prophecy, if you will, to come true. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah reads, "Who hath believed our report?
Mm-hmm.
And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up," this is speaking of Jesus,
yeah,
"before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Understanding that Jesus was raised in Nazareth, and to be a Nazarene in that time, you were looked down upon. if we remember when Jesus was calling the apostles, Nathaniel uttered in the first chapter of John, he said, "Can any good thing come from Nazareth?"
Right.
This is one of the reasons why the people would not accept Jesus Christ, because where he was raised up as. But then going on forward, after Achilles was out of office as king, came another one of Herod the Great's sons, Antipas. This is the one that beheaded John the Baptist. If you remember the story where some of the Pharisees, I do believe, they were trying to run Jesus out of the land, they told him because this Antipas desired to do what his father had did, and that was to kill Jesus. And that's when we read it says, go tell Herod that fox. So again, we see that name Herod, but understand now this is the third person in this family.
Yeah.
And that brings us up to the point of Agrippa, which we're reading here in the 12th chapter. Now, this is Agrippa the first. He is a grandson, but again, we see that this family has a problem, if you will, with Jews, and namely that of the truth. Now we see that he has killed, is it James?
Yes.
And okay. Now he is locking up Peter. So this family has a problem, and we'll read on. I do believe it's the 25th or the 26th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Where we see Paul is encountering, and it does say Agrippa, but understand that this is the son of this Agrippa here in the 12th chapter. So the point of all this is to show that this family, this runs in this family to persecute those that are called Christians. So this man did not just, if you will, just come up and decide to hate the Jews, but this is something that has been embedded in him throughout the generations. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. So now, as we were discussing it, this man, Herod, the king, was bringing forth Peter to be executed on Easter. He that was his, it was pleasing to the Jews for this.
Yeah.
And he was looking to make a name for himself. Nice. So, it says he's intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. This word Easter is not referring to our modern holiday of Easter. That holiday is indeed a Babylonian holiday, coming from that word Easter comes from the goddess Ishtara, or Ashtaroth, which was denounced by the Lord in the Old Testament. This was the goddess that the Jews constantly went after to worship falsely. Amen?
Amen.
So, this is not that holiday. If you look, the holiday of Easter, what we celebrate today,
mm-hmm.
it never falls on the same day. And it's supposed to represent the resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that Christ is resurrected on it has to be the same day every year.
Amen.
Why does it constantly change? Well, it changes according to the moon and the equinox.
That's correct.
Amen?
That is correct.
So, it's a religious holiday after the new moon and after the spring equinox, which makes it worshiping the stars. Amen. Astrology. It all ties into astrology, and comes out of this goddess Ishtara, who is the goddess of fertility and the goddess of life, out of the Babylonian belief.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the two signs, the egg and the bunny rabbit, are prominent on this day, because those are two signs of fertility. The rabbit is very fertile; it's a very fertile animal. It makes many babies, reproduces a lot, and the egg is a sign of reproduction. Amen. So that is why those two things are so prominent on this day. It's false worship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this word Easter in the Bible is not referring to that holiday, but is referring to the Passover.
Yeah.
That is the day that the Lord died. He was risen on first fruit. He died on Friday. The Passover is on the Friday. And he rose on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. So, it is not, when he talks about he's intending after Easter, this is not the Easter that you think of in this day. He's talking about the Passover.
Right. Amen. And if I could, just to add on to that, because we that call ourselves Christians should not be trying to participate in this day, which is known as Easter. And as Minister Fountain has foretold us, the meaning of that day, and looking at the translation, some will say that word Easter was translated incorrectly. But in the truth, God will give you revelation anyway, and if you look back and translate it back, it does actually translate back to the word Passover.
Right.
The problem is the Passover was one of the feast, if you will, of Jehovah. Christ came, and he nailed all of those feasts, all of those holy days, all of those sanctions that were held under the Old Testament. He nailed those to the cross. So we shouldn't even be trying to keep the Passover today. And as Minister Fountain said, you will find Easter, if you just look at your calendar, it's always set up. It's going to start, the earliest is going to be March 22nd, and it can stretch all the way up to and through April 25th. Why is that? Because they're looking at the sun, the moon, and the stars to pick this day.
Right.
Now, the original Passover was supposed to be, and I guess we should look at Leviticus to get further understanding of this, Leviticus 23.
Yeah, while he's getting that, I want to remind you of our guest call-in number. It's 1-646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566.
Amen. Leviticus 23 and 5, and it reads as follows. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And this is the day that they were to have it every year. Now, some will say that this day translate over to April 14th in our time because we do not have the same calendar as the Jews did in that day. So one thing, if you want to attempt to keep the Passover or call it Easter, let's be correct in your error, if I can say that, and
yeah,
at least have it on the right day.
Right.
This is a day that the Lord made, not the world, if you will.
Yeah.
Another point that I should bring out, another reason that we should not be trying to keep it, is found in the book of Colossians, the second chapter, where it speaks on these things and tells us not to do them. Colossians 2, 14 through 17. It reads as follows, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances
mm-hmm.
that was against us,
sure.
which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which were a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So these days, we shouldn't be trying to keep these days. They were all shadows of things to come. Christ fulfilled all of these things, and one
Amen.
Of the things that he fulfilled was the Passover. So we should be trying to keep the Passover. We also should not be trying to keep the Sabbath. You have those that worship on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. Again, you are in error. Number one, because the Sabbath was not given to us as Gentiles. It was a day. You can find it in Exodus 31. I do believe it's verse number 6. It was a day that was given to the children of Israel, and it was supposed to be a covenant between God and Israel. So we shouldn't be trying to keep any of these days.
Right.
And the reason we're taking the time to bring these things out is because it's important, if we're going through the history of the book of Acts, that we give you some understanding. Some will see this word Easter in the Bible and then try to justify them having Easter eggs and bunny suits and, you know, you wearing your multicolored suits on that day. You're keeping a day that is pagan in origin, and you can be corrupting, if you will, your relationship with God. Amen?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, because the resurrection, for people that have been born again, we celebrate his resurrection every day.
Amen.
Yes.
So there's no such a certain day that we choose to do things, but we celebrating it every day. So because he was the first fruits of them that slept, and he rose again, and he also rose up in us. You know, we're baptized into his death. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So every day is the same for us. We just come together the first day of the week, even pretty much the world itself, realizes that the first day of the week, and according to our calendar, is Sunday.
Amen.
And just carrying on with that point, we know that Christ fulfilled all these offices. He fulfilled all of the feasts. He is our Passover. He is our first fruits. He is our atonement. He is our rest. He is our tabernacle. He is all of these things. He is our unleavened bread. Amen?
Yes.
But he is also our high priest. And now, if we read in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, it says that in the 9th verse, it says, as I may say so, Levi also will receive a tithe, pay tithes in Abraham, for he is in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him.
Mm-hmm.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law. Now, we got to understand that the feast and the Passover were all under the law.
Yes.
What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not called after the order of Aaron? Because in the 110th Psalm, it says, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek forever.
Right.
Amen?
7th chapter. Yeah.
So now we know that Jesus Christ came after the order of Melchizedek because he did not come out of the Levitical tribe. He
right.
did not come out of the tribe of Levi. He came out of the tribe of Judah. So now, as we read on, it says in the 12th verse, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. So now the priesthood was changed out of the Levitical priesthood into a Melchizedek priesthood, and so the law changed also. And he fulfilled that law by being the sacrifice that was needed.
Yes.
If I could skip down in the 27th verse, he says, 26th verse, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, the high priests of the Levitical priesthood,
right. mm-hmm.
to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered himself. When he offered himself, all those other offerings were null and void.
Right.
The Lord wasn't looking for all those other offerings anymore. He found his perfect offering.
Yes.
The Lord was that perfect offering. The Lord was the high priest that offered that offering, and he was the God that received that offering.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And simply, so that's why we don't have to worry about those feasts and worry after keeping days and months and years. We have all of that fulfilled within Jesus Christ himself.
Yes. Yeah, because like he said in verse 28 in 7th chapter of Hebrews, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity.
Yes.
But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore.
Amen.
So that's the, you know, he is, like the Bible said, once in the end of the world, as he appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Yes.
So that's why we were saying, and even we say when we read in our opening, for the law was given by Moses, but mm-hmm. grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And thank God for grace.
Yes.
Amen. Out of those, I do believe it was 613 ordinances, you were found guilty of breaking them all. If you kept 612 of them and broke the last one, you were just as guilty as breaking all
yes.
of them. And there was no man on the face of the earth that could keep all of those. So to try to keep these days would be putting yourself under the bondage of the law again, if you will. So that's another reason that Christ had to come and fulfill those things so we wouldn't be under the bondage of those things. And I do believe Brother Paul talks about that in the book of Romans, where some of them were trying to keep some of the things under the law, but that is bondage.
Right.
There was no grace under the law. And if you read a lot of times in the Old Testament, excuse me, if a man was to fall in error, sometimes God would kill him right there on the spot. There was no grace allotted.
Right.
So we should not be trying to go back and keep any of these days. And I know we're spending a lot of time on this, but again, we want to give you clarification on a lot of these things. And you can look at this story that we're reading here in the 12th chapter, and it's primarily made up of Peter being incarcerated. But there's things in the Bible, everything in the Bible is there for a reason.
Yeah.
Some of those, we just can't read over it as though it's not important.
Right.
So as we're looking at this and we're giving you understanding of Easter, is because we don't want you to be ignorant in the things that you do. We want to give you truth. That is our title, Truth Ministry. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. So if we have settled the issue of Easter, we can now therefore move on. Reading in the fifth verse, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And when he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was dreaming. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And this is just a point that God is faithful.
Yeah.
Like I said, for my food of thought.
Yeah.
God is faithful. The church prayed without ceasing for him. That means it was a constant prayer going up unto God on behalf of Peter. This was an intercessory prayer, supplication.
Yeah.
To see that Peter get released from his persecution. Amen?
Yeah.
So as long as the persecution was going on, they were praying. And they knew that in the end, even if Peter died, that he had a better end to what was going on. Amen. His death right here wouldn't have been the end of it. It wouldn't have been the end of the word. But Peter knew he wasn't going to die because the Lord showed Peter his death.
Yeah.
In the book of John, and he talked about it in his second epistle, that he was ready to put off his tabernacle as the Lord had shown me.
Right.
So the Lord showed him how he was going to die. And so he knew he wasn't going to die. He had faith that God was faithful and would keep his word.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So that is just a testament. That is a testimony to show that God is faithful if you keep on praying and keep on seeking after him. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, just like he said. Then also, the Lord still had work for Peter to do. Then also, he had to write his letters. Before he left. So the Lord was using him, and that just lets you know, like Apostle Paul said, if God be for us, who could be against us? What he was literally saying, since God is for us, who could be against us?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter about the threats that were against him, the bullseye that was on his back, but God was on his side. And so you haven't preached until you made the devil mad? No way. So you preach the truth, you're going to make the devil mad.
Amen.
So Peter was a man of God, and a lot of people keep looking back, talking about Peter denied him. Yeah, he did deny him before his conversion or before he got saved, but he didn't deny the Lord no more. Like the Bible said, Peter said that he wouldn't deny him, or he wouldn't forsake him, but the Bible said that they all flee.
Yeah.
Everybody forsook him, not just Peter. So we can see how God really used this man, and that's a question we ought to ask ourselves. You know, with this, what they call years ago, ha ha ha, salvation. You know, your troubles are all over and all that. No, Apostle Paul said, and yea, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So you should have, everybody shouldn't be your friend. You know, he that is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So everybody's not our friend. So we can see how that God's word is fulfilled and how God is faithful here. As you want to go ahead, I think this is interesting here, the next verse. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. So that just shows you, you know, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is on time. And sometimes if God was to work real fast on behalf of some of us, we wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. that is true. He will work so fast sometimes, you can't even believe it. Your mind can't process his thoughts. Amen.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to put on his thoughts. We have to try to seek after his mind, because if we relied on our own mind, there's no way we can process what God does and how he does what he does.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So and moving on, it says that verse 16. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished.
Yeah.
But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. And now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went about from Judea and Caesarea and there abode.
Yeah, I think that's amazing, because that was like the Lord said that I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal, I do these things. So by God delivering Peter from these soldiers that had him, they held him fast, as they would say, and all these chains and everything. But God saved Peter. That was the salvation of Peter, or the deliverance of Peter, as some would say. And that was the death of the soldiers.
Amen. And that's the same way as in the book of Daniel, when the three Hebrew men that were thrown in the fire, the same ones that were throwing them in the fire and were getting the fire hot ended up getting burned up.
Yeah.
But when the three men went into through there, they walk unharmed.
Right.
And as Nebuchadnezzar said, that's all forth in there, like as the Son of Man.
Yeah.
So God was with them through the fire. God is faithful in all that you do. Amen.
Yeah.
And reading on, it says in the 20th verse, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed his royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten up of worms and gave up the ghost.
But but the word of God grew and multiplied.
All right.
So that's like he said. I mean, it's so very important. It's like he was saying in the 55th chapter of Isaiah about the snow and the rain come down from heaven. What it was going to do? It was going to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And he used the analogy, "So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish in the thing that I send it, and prosper in that which I please." So it's so important. Like, most of the time in the word, we can make applications in the word of God, but the seed is the word of God, not money.
Yes.
And people are capitalizing on that. And I remember a lesson, one of our ministers, Elder Johnny James, matter of fact, he taught that lesson about people, the way people use words. And it's too many times people are using words to deceive people. because they're placing financial people planting seed, which is money. What they're trying to tell them, they're putting that high above salvation.
Yes, and this is what really Herod was doing. He was trying to use his words to make a name for himself,
yes.
And they looked at him as a god. And it ultimately boils down to money, because it says he nourished Tyre and Sidon. And you can't nourish somebody else if they ain't giving you something back.
Right.
So he was making money off of them. So this is what he was doing. It was all about money and all about puffing himself up and making himself boastful and making himself bigger than God. He was trying to put himself on that same level and was immediately smote down. And so this was the end of the persecution of Herod Agrippa the First. Amen?
Yeah.
And reading this last verse, it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." And now it's very interesting to see that Paul was in Jerusalem this entire time during this persecution, because he went at the end of the 11th chapter. He was in, him and Barnabas brought victuals to Jerusalem. So during this time, Paul actually firsthand saw the persecution that he once laid out,
yeah,
and dished out unto the people. He now saw this persecution. He now had to live underground. He could not proclaim himself and show himself openly unto the people necessarily, because he was of this way that he once persecuted. So this took place over about a year's time, and now Paul and Barnabas are returning from Jerusalem, because I believe it was needful for Paul to see this persecution being arisen upon the apostles and upon the people.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why he, like I said before, I believe in the 6th chapter of Galatians, when he said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap."
Yeah.
And everywhere he went, they were after him. And he truly could say that, because he lived it. Matter of fact, after his first message, they had to let him in a wall,
yeah,
down in a basket, down the wall, out of Jerusalem, because they were after him.
And I don't think there's very many cities where Paul wasn't chased out of the city,
yeah,
at the end of his ministry. And so he wasn't bringing flocks of people following after him. He was coming into cities and bringing a message that did not agree with the doctrines and the traditions that were being preached and had been preached over the years. And he came to literally change these traditions that were not set up by God, mind you. He came to proclaim the word of God and was chased out of the city. And I think of Jesus when he said that they persecuted the prophets. There was not one prophet that they did not kill.
Right.
And so that same mentality carries on, that they chased and killed the prophets. Amen.
Right.
All the apostles died horrible deaths,
right,
when they brought the word of God unto the people. It's because there were those that were of the devil. They were children of the devil, offspring of the devil, that did not want to see this word come forth, did not want to see people's souls saved. They wanted to be eternally damned, and they killed these men that brought forth the word.
Right.
Amen?
And they were sent forth. And then that's another, like we said, you had to be one of the signs of the being an apostle. You had to see the Lord. And then we can see on, as we've been reading in the scriptures, the works that apostles done. They miracles and signs and wonders. Even Apostle Paul talks about that in the 2nd chapter of Corinthians, when he writes to the Corinthian church. Then dying a horrible death. So you that call yourself an apostle nowadays, are you still an apostle? All of these things, it costs you something to be an apostle. And we know that their job was to lay the foundation and to write the New Testament scriptures. Then after that, they died a horrible death.
And
just like John the Baptist. He pointed the way of the Lord, and he got beheaded at the end. I mean, nobody want to go out like that. That was just the way that the foolishness that the devil put in the heart of that woman to ask Herod the king. But John the Baptist already has said that he must decrease, I must decrease and he must increase. So you don't know how your end is going to be, but you don't want to choose your end like that, to die a horrible death.
Amen. And all the apostles, like we said, died horrible death.
Except for one.
Except for one, the apostle John. But it wasn't a bed of roses for him either.
No.
He was thrown in a boiling pot of oil, and his whole body was burned.
Yeah.
They said that they had to carry him around for the rest of his life. And even in his writing of the book of the Revelation, he was on the Isle of Patmos.
Right.
That was a prison island.
Right.
That was persecution in that. There was no nourishment on that island.
No.
But he was nourished by the word of the Lord. He got one of the greatest revelations. He got the revelation
right.
of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Right. Right.
So, and it was needful for him to get that so that we may see prophecy and that we may see the end and the coming ministry of the Antichrist. So that is why he couldn't die at the time he did. But he did not have it easy just because he died a natural death.
Right.
But if we look through, Paul got beheaded, Peter was crucified, Andrew was crucified, they were sawn with the sword, they
pulling.
Were stabbed with spears, pulled by horses, there was many different horrible, horrible deaths, they were flayed with the sword, it was just really bad, what these men had to go through for the Lord's namesake,
right.
Amen?
Right.
So they should suffer persecution for his namesake.
Right.
They did this all in the name of the Lord, and in the end, they were glad because the Lord told them this, and their reward was to be great within heaven,
right.
Amen?
Yeah, and I think also in that isle called Patmos that John was in, there were wild beasts and scorpions and all kinds of dangerous things out there in that isle, you know. And it's amazing because people don't say they say that I'm they say I'm in Hawaii, I'm in here, I'm in there, but he was in that isle. A lot of people say that he was on the Isle of Patmos, but the Bible said that John said I was in the isle that is called Patmos for the testimony of the Lord, you know, for the word of God. So he was there, and that was no delightful place to be. He wasn't laying up drinking tea in that isle.
And I guess it's interesting and to see that these men, they received physical persecution, if you will. And the reason being, we know the reason being, is because they were preaching Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If you look nowadays, it's not so much a physical persecution that men are preaching. It's more spiritual. But the interesting thing to see is, these men were locked up, you know, several times. They were chased out of the cities. They were stoned. I mean, people were after them, but they didn't stop. And here we now, you know, now in these days, you know, these preachers, the so-called preachers, and a little bit of trouble, you know, maybe financially or maybe in your relationship or maybe on your job, something like that comes, and we just give up. We throw our hands up. I think that maybe is because, number one, we are not looking towards our reward. These men knew what their end was, but they knew what they were preaching for. They saw the benefits of preaching Christ.
Yeah.
We still have those benefits available to us today, but we have to preach the word of God. I mean, these men were locked up. We have the freedom to preach the word, and we have some preachers that are afraid to preach the truth about whom Jesus is. And that's one thing to note, that what we're doing here is we're bringing out the truth of whom Jesus is. There's some out there that preach in the name of Jesus. They use the name of Jesus, but they're not preaching it according to the scriptures. So that is something to look at. In that time, there was only one group of people really talking about Jesus. Nowadays, you have many, but in that many that's talking about Jesus, there's only one true group, those that are truly Christians, that are preaching Jesus in the proper context, if you will.
Right.
And we are preaching the same messages that the apostles preached. Amen?
Right.
And,
yeah.
And to get a better understanding of this, this is why we're going through the book of Acts, to show you what they preached. If you don't know what they preached, how can you go out and preach it? So I just think that that's interesting to look at these men. It almost brings me joy to see the trouble that they went through so that we can hold these Bibles that we have in our hands.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, and that is truth. And nowadays, some of these people that started off with the truth, they're making themselves more important than the message of Jesus. And then they're calling people names if they leave their ministry. And they're trying to let people know that it's about them. They're magnifying themselves too high. Because what you're supposed to be doing is the emphasis is on the Lord. He's the center of attraction. It's not about us. We're just vessels by whom ye believe, as the Apostle Paul said. So you cannot make yourself so important. And people nowadays, it's not like it was in back then. But now, if you can't get along with another church or you clashing with another personality, even in the truth, you can go somewhere else and be saved. Because after all, it's the Lord that saved you anyway. You ain't got a pastor is not your bosom buddy. You know, nowadays, people are coming up with terms. I'm not done pouring into you. You can't leave and all that. I mean, I never read a scripture where nobody was pouring into nobody.
Amen.
You know, as far as those terms. It's the word. It's the word of the Lord. It's not about us, no way.
Amen.
We won't be putting emphasis on ourselves.
Amen. And I just keep going back in this discussion. Is my food for thought was hold fast to the profession of our faith.
Yes.
Our faith in the doctrine of the Lord.
Yes.
And because we count him that promise faithful.
Yes.
He is faithful in all that we do.
Yes.
No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on within your job, going on with your family, going on with your possessions, your car, your houses, no matter what's going on, God is faithful if you hold fast to his faith. Amen?
Yes.
And you have to grab onto that faith and not waver, mm-hmm. not go back and forth through winds of doctrine and be blown to and fro, but hold fast and stand in the doctrine of the Lord, and he will be faithful in all that you do.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And with that said, that's another reason that we're seeing, just with this instance, as we see how Peter, I mean, this brother, he walked out of the jail. Nobody saw him. He walked freely out. He didn't have to bust no bricks open. You know, he didn't have to strangle no guards or, you know, hide in a laundry basket or anything like that. He walked right out of the front door. But God was with him because of what he was doing. And that's another thing. We have people that want to be blessed by God. They want God to do all these great things, but they're not doing what God has called them to do. So that's another thing. We're seeing these men by example. We're seeing what we should be doing. We're seeing, I don't see a lot of whole vacations in here as we're going through the book of Acts. We see preaching the word, and then we see persecution. Then we see some more preaching. We see persecution. We see souls being saved. We're seeing persecution. It's not a whole lot of joy in the flesh, if you will, as we've been traveling through the book of Acts. So I think
right.
that's another good point to bring out.
And if you are living this life, if you are living the life of holiness, preaching the word of the Lord, and you're not getting persecuted, you might want to relook at what you are calling truth and what you are holding on to, because this way is a way of persecution. We get persecuted every day. I'm sure each one of these brothers, there's something going on every day. Some sort of trouble arises. I know this week there's all been all kinds of trouble that have arisen, but I know it's because I'm living something and that the devil wants to stop me in my tracks.
Yeah.
He wants to stop this word. He wants to stop people from getting their soul saved. He wants to waver your truth. He wants to create doubt within you. But you can't let him get any place. You can't let him get any sort of foothold. You have to stand fast. You have to stand tall and fight this good fight of faith. And if you fight that good fight, he has to flee. The book of James says that. If you stand up, he will
flee.
Right,
right. Resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God, and the devil will flee. So we see nowadays people are trying to bind you on every hand, and folks got nasty attitudes. Especially, it's the spirit, because we have the Holy Ghost in us, and we can recognize sometimes folks will find favor and folks will treat us nice. There's the other times folks treat us so nasty, and we know it. And it's just God that we just have to hold our peace. And nowadays, you know, you get phone calls too many times. This conversation will be recorded for quality purposes. No, it ain't. It's to snare somebody with it. If you got to go to court or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, so everybody taping up everybody, even the police getting busted by their own gang. You know, as they say, things not the same anytime a hunter gets captured by the gang. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. But they think this is something. You don't want to be found on the other side with the goats when God turn the TV on and show you. You know, people be saying, that wasn't me. I didn't say that. He's going to show you, you. So now the Bible said the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if judgment first begin on us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? And that's even us. You can't be just covering up stuff. Folks is doing stuff and so-called confessing in their secret closet and still going on doing what they were doing.
And we are being judged right now.
Yes.
The church is being judged right now. It says that judgment shall begin at the house of the Lord.
Right.
We're being judged in this life, and we're being judged by our persecutions and how we handle persecutions, how we handle temptations, how we handle everything that is brought to us. How are we going to get through this? Amen?
Yeah.
We can only get through it by the grace of God
yes.
and looking towards him. Amen?
Yes.
And there's no other way that we can get through it. Not by our own might, not by our own power, but by the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen?
And this is why Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he was saying about some men's sins go on before them, and others they follow after,
mm-hmm.
or literally appear later.
Yes.
So would you want your sins to be before you? If you mess up, get it straight.
Yes.
That's why he says, and then I was thinking about that, and then the word that we heard Sunday, the condition, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, there's another if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some folks know they're dirty, but they won't come clean.
Amen.
So if you don't confess, and forsake, you won't have mercy.
Amen.
So talking about goodness and mercy following you, yes, yeah, following you. Mercy is trying to get your attention. To some people, they won't listen.
Amen.
So we don't want to, next week we want to get into the 13th chapter. We have a couple minutes left, so anybody have got any thoughts, we'll get off. But we're just so glad to try to give you understanding of this is the message of salvation in the Acts of the Apostles. These are the apostles that you find in this book.
Amen.
And you may find more than 12 in here, but there are only 12 names written in the 12 foundations in the book of Revelation. So it don't matter. All I don't care about no title. I just want to be saved. That's
Amen.
The idea we all want to be saved and not to be important.
Amen.
I mean, if you happen to be important, more power to you. But folks is making themselves important.
Amen. If I could just very briefly just
yeah.
preview the 13th chapter. This is when Paul and Barnabas get sent out, and they go forth on their first missionary journey to bring to the fold. And we see Paul's great message, the continuance of the history of Israel and their unfaithfulness towards God, all in the 13th chapter.
Yeah, so we're going to get into the 13th chapter on next week and finish up.
We'd like to thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.